You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
At tennis, anyone, our Australian Open first-round coverage continues tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN+, 9 Eastern on ESPN2, highlighted by matches involving Coco Gauff and Rafa Nadal. Check out all the action from the land down under. And with that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We're brought to you by Chase on this Super Bowl Monday. Pat McAfee is going to join the party as we get this hour started right now. It is time to get up with a Super Bowl stunner and a sensational seven for the greatest to ever do it. Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. getting it done. While Mr. Mahomes does not. How did this D dominate Super Bowl 55 against the highest flying offense in the NFL? We've got the game plan, and Ndamukong Suh will join us live. Oh, and by the way, this Eagle is on the verge of flying out of Philly, like soon. Shefty has the very latest as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now with all the sights, the sounds, the scenes of Super Bowl 55 in Tampa. The first ever for a team playing in its home stadium. All the pageantry last night. Tampa Tom and the Buccaneers taking on Patrick Mahomes. And early, it's Brady. It's his old buddy Gronk. Brady's first quarter touchdown ever in a Super Bowl, giving Tampa a 7-3 lead, and they would never look back. Middle of the second, Bucks up 13-3 and looking for more. Brady again, Gronk again. Brady and Tyrann Mathieu jawing at each other. Frustration starting to set in for KC. 14-3 Tampa. Now Bucks in the red zone. Much before halftime, Brady throws it up, and the ref throws down the flag. Again, the Chiefs 95 penalty yards in the first half, and that would lead to this. TB to AB. TD with 6 seconds left in the half. It's 21-6 Tampa. Oh, and there's more. Tampa Tom chasing down Tyrann Mathieu. Those two going at it. Middle of the third. This was when you realized it was over. Does Mahomes have magic? Not if Leonard Fournette is doing this. Fournette just taking it untouched up the right side, 28-9 in favor of Tampa. And Patrick Mahomes trying to make something happen. Middle of the third, throwing it up. It's tipped, it's picked. Antoine Winfield Jr. Buccaneers would turn that into a field goal. It's 31-9. Fourth quarter, same score. This was the kind of night it was for Mahomes. Oh, look at him crushed by Cam Gill and Ndamukong Suh. Mahomes pressured 29 times, most in Super Bowl history. And then, end of the game, it's already all over. Final 2 minutes, and it's Mahomes picked again in the end zone by Devin White. Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bruce Arians, the oldest head coach ever to win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady named the Super Bowl MVP for the fifth time. And this morning, he just moments ago was talking about his defense.
It's a good feeling from our sideline seeing them do that. Just seeing the other quarterback work for passing yards is a great feeling. There's nothing, you know, when I know when I feel in rhythm and I feel like, okay, things are really clean, I'm seeing everything, you know, it's fun. It's relatively easy. But when you feel, God, man, every play there for a 6 yard gain, I got to fire it in there and thread the needle between two guys. I mean, that's tough to play football like that. So I just give credit to our D-line, what they did in pursuit of him. They played their ass off.
He's in his own house. I mean, they played the Super Bowl. They won in their own stadium last night. And look, I mean, that pretty much tells you everything you need to know. Tom Brady has now won more Super Bowls than any franchise in the National Football League. He just continues to add to what is already the greatest legacy in the history of the sport. And Pat McAfee joins the party this morning with Dominique Foxworth and Ryan Clark and Dan Orlovsky. And I want each of you to sort of dive into this. But Pat, as you join us here, I'll start with you. Because I really was trying to figure this out before we came in this morning. Is the storyline last night Brady, what he accomplishes and what he meant to that team and to the league? Or is the story last night what that defense did to Patrick Mahomes, who was supposed to be the heir to that throne? McAfee, what do you think?
Well, Greeny, I think it goes hand in hand, and it's always an incredible honor to be here with you guys on ESPN. Neek, Ryan, Orlovsky, Greeny, you guys look fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Gosh, dude, punch you in the face.
And it's an honor to be here with you. Now, to get to the deeper point that you were just talking about, is this because of the defense or because of Tom Brady? I think they go hand in hand strictly because when Tom Brady was a free agent, there were some people that would get on your desk, Greeny, and say, there isn't really a market for Tom Brady out there. And all I was saying is, if you get Tom Brady into your building, everybody gets better. Equipment managers get better. Athletic trainers get better. Your defense gets better. There's no wasted reps. There's no corners that are cut when Tom Brady's there because you know you have a guy. And if you look at that Super Bowl yesterday, all the OGs that maybe went ring chasing down in Tampa made a big time play. The defense was humming. And Ndamukong Suh, a man who's been around and made hundreds of millions of dollars. He was hot on Patrick Mahomes' heels there at the end. It all goes hand in hand, and it's the Tom Brady effect. The defense was unbelievable. Patrick Mahomes not scoring a touchdown with that offense is something we never could have predicted, but I do believe it all is kind of tied in together whenever you got a guy who's the GOAT in 7 Super Bowls, Greeny.
Well, I think that's great insight, and I would remind everyone that Pat, you played with Peyton Manning, so you have a real sense of how that works and how that lifts up everybody in the building. So, Dan, I'll come to you on a similar thought there. I mean, Brady elevates everybody, but then that defense, look, we knew they were good, but that's not the 85 Bears. They wrecked that game last night. What happened?
Yeah, they played like it last night. If this was Bill Belichick last night, if Todd Bowles was Bill Belichick, everyone would be like, oh, my gosh, greatest performance ever by a coach. It was masterclass. We don't say this. Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy got absolutely outclassed by Todd Bowles defensively. I'm going to throw this out here. Hembo sent this to me. Patrick Mahomes last night ran for 498 yards before throwing the football. He scrambled for 498 yards before he had to throw the ball. This defense was on him all game long. And if you listen to Tom Brady talk, like, that was the remarkable thing. Tom was talking about, like, hey, my job was kind of easy. I was clean, and I was watching Patrick running for his life. And it was just remarkable to watch Todd Bowles take Vita Vea and put him at defensive end, and Jason Pierre-Paul put him at defensive tackle to attack some of those protection issues for Kansas City. It was remarkable to watch Todd Bowles never single up Tyreek Hill one-on-one. It was remarkable that Todd Bowles knew if he played that type of two-man combo coverage, that Kansas City couldn't help in protection because they had to get four or five guys out to try to find somebody get open. It was as good of a coordinated defensive performance as I've ever seen in football.
Dominic, pick up the thought from there because, again, this is a defense that came in. We said they have to win this game for their team, and they did.
I would add to that the scramble drill was really impressive. Because we talk about how well coached the Chiefs play when the play breaks down. That didn't happen in this game. When the play broke down, you saw Shaq Barrett chasing down Mahomes, and you saw Tyreek Hill in double coverage. And normally those guys get loose in that situation. But I knew yesterday was going to be a bad night for a lot of people who expected them to win as soon as the coin toss went heads. Because my man right there, Pat McAfee, had 30 riding on tails. And I had my fingers crossed. I was praying for you, brother. That thing went heads. And right then, I knew that all the bets that people were making were going to go bad.
Now, the thing about that, Neek, is that was technically the only thing the Chiefs won all night, which was the coin toss. Okay. That thing, which was quite a heartbreaker for me, Neek, but it was interesting because the night did not go how any of us thought it was. I think like 80% of the bettors were on the over. I believe 80% of the money was on the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody expected a blowout in the opposite direction. And that's why, obviously, football is the greatest sport of all time. And you can bet 30 racks on a coin toss in the Super Bowl. That makes, you know, America awesome for sure, especially whenever you lose. But that game went nowhere near how any of us thought it was going to go, Greeny, even with your big brain having ass.
I'm sorry.
No way you thought that was going to happen, dude.
Absolutely not. I picked Kansas City to win the game, as almost everybody else here did. RC, let me come to you quickly if we can do that. And that is to ask you, was there anything that the Chiefs didn't do last night? I mean, to the point that these guys were making, they're supposed to make plays when they're not there to be made. They're supposed to have this brilliant offensive mind as their head coach who can come up with answers, whatever it is you throw at him. And they couldn't do anything last night. Did you see anything they missed? How do you explain Kansas City never figuring it out last night?
I think they missed a ton, but we have to give their opponent some credit. And just as my boy Pat McAfee plays Hollywood Squares every time one of us talk, I feel like Patrick Mahomes was looking down at Andy Reid, and from afar, because he was probably a little dazed and confused, he thought he saw Cliff Kingsbury, because he hasn't been dominated like that since Cliff Kingsbury was his coach his freshman year at Texas Tech. And that's what it looked like. When Dan talks about being outclassed, when Dan talks about being outcoached, that's truly what it was. It looked like one coaching staff didn't deserve to be on the field with the other, and we haven't associated those things with the Kansas City Chiefs, especially not with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. And I keep going back to Devin White having headphones on his ears and goggles on his eyes and saying, you know what, we don't play that pretty football. We're about smash mouth football. They truly believe that they could be more physical than the Kansas City Chiefs were, and that it would work, and it did. People don't play with that type of confidence against this team. They knew who their coordinator was. They knew they had made the right adjustments, and they played like it.
I have to leave it there for the moment, but we will come back on that thought. The idea that a team coached by Bruce Arians was going to dramatically outcoach a team coached by Andy Reid is not something we would have guessed would happen before this season began. We're talking much more about this as we go. McAfee's with us for the hour. He was running for his life. Coming up, the worst game of Patrick Mahomes' career. How exactly did the Bucs shut him down? And no one hit him harder than Ndamukong Suh. The big fella will join us next. The morning after winning the championship. He'll be here. Get up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. You are watching Get Up, presented by Indeed. And the story of the night last night in Super Bowl 55, the Tampa pass rush just swarming Patrick Mahomes, constantly having Mahomes on the run. Three sacks en route to a 31-9 win, and Ndamukong Suh was in the middle of that and is now officially a Super Bowl champ. And we are pleased to welcome Ndamukong Suh, 11-year NFL veteran, with us here on Get Up. Finally, winning your first Super Bowl. Ndamukong, congratulations. And I guess I would begin by asking, you've been in the league a long time. You've had a lot of moments. What thoughts were in your mind when that clock hit zero last night?
I mean, just pure excitement and joy. Elated to be finally a champion. Was there 2 years ago, actually against Tom. And in my opinion, he sold that one away for me when I was at LA. So excited to just be a champion and really just soak in that moment and really looking for my wife to hurry up and come down and get to the field.
Yeah, you are the first Super Bowl champions ever to get to celebrate and then sleep in your own bed, if any sleeping has been going on, obviously, amidst the celebration. What was it like to do this at home?
It was awesome. I mean, it was great. I think for our preparation, it was amazing. Really 2 weeks straight being able to be at home, especially being on the road for 3 weeks straight, going to Washington, New Orleans, and then obviously finally winning the NFC Championship in Green Bay. So to be able to come home and win a championship in your home city, and then after the game, be able to just drive a couple miles to get home and sleep in your own bed for a couple hours before getting up was definitely a great situation.
You know, you just mentioned it, and let's just go through that. This was a defense I think we all considered to be a good defense all year, but we weren't talking about it in historical context. But in the last three games, you just beat Drew Brees in his building, then you beat Aaron Rodgers in his building, and then you dominated Patrick Mahomes on the biggest stage in the sport last night. How did you do what you guys did these last three games?
truthfully, this defense and Coach Bowles have always understood what we had as a unit. And really, it just came down to us executing and being really consistent. I've always said this to the media and just as in our total group, that as long as we become consistent and be able to play four strong quarters, which we did last night, we're going to be a tough defense to stop. And really, I always pride myself on being able to stop the run and then turning on the jets and getting after the quarterback. And really, our secondary did an amazing job to shut down their receivers. And we knew up front it was up to us to get after that quarterback and make it a living hell for him. And I think we did our job on that count.
I would say so. That's as good a way to put it. He was under siege. He was running for his life. It was, to use your words, a living hell. Give us the game plan. Now it's behind us. What was the game plan going into last night to get all that pressure on Patrick Mahomes?
Game plan, truthfully, was the ability to understand that Mahomes is an elite quarterback. He can roll out the pocket and really wants to get out to his right to find and make plays if he can't step up and get into the B gap. And so for me, I knew I was going to be in a great left three technique, and Shaq and JPP, as well as Will Golston and Vita, they were going to push the pocket, and our whole goal was to move him to his left and make him just really run and get him down to the ground. So for the most part, that's what we did. And even though we gave up a little bit of running yards late in the game, which somewhat affected him, got them moving the ball down the field, I think ultimately we executed what Coach Bowles wanted, and obviously got sacks and tons of pressures, and just had the ability to make plays and get turnovers and get the ball back to our offense, because we knew they were going to score points no matter what.
And so let's leave it by talking about your quarterback. He obviously played great last night and had a very good year on the field. But beyond his play, how would you describe the impact that Tom Brady had on this football team this season?
His competitive edge and just truthfully his way he approaches the game. And I think ultimately, I know he got me really hyped up before the game and his pregame speech to us. And he doesn't always speak, and I think he wanted to be reserved and choose the right time going into this game, and just said to the entire group that you win this game, you're going to be honored for your life, and your family's going to be honored for the rest of your life. And especially winning at home, this team deserves to be honored for the rest of our lives and continue to be very proud of what we were able to accomplish last night.
Listen, Ndamukong, you've been around a long time, and here it is. What a crowning moment for you in your career. Congratulations. Thank you for waking up for this, getting up on about 90 minutes sleep. I appreciate it. Enjoy this celebration, and we'll see you down the road. Well done.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Always good to talk to you.
All right, that's Ndamukong Suh, and we appreciate him being with us. Coming up, Shefty says the Eagles are deeply exploring trading Carson Wentz. Where and when? Wait till you hear the answers to those questions. Shefty has them coming up. And then we'll see if McAfee can answer this one from Hembo. Which quarterback suffered the largest defeat as a Super Bowl favorite, as Mahomes was yesterday? That's the question. Let's see if McAfee has the answer. He's pondering. See if he gets it right next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
You are watching Get Up, presented by Indeed. And let us give Pat McAfee his shot at Sneaky Hembo here. Here we go. Which quarterback suffered the largest defeat as a Super Bowl favorite, Pat, as Patrick Mahomes was yesterday?
I know how Hembo operates. He likes to make it personal, so that immediately made me think maybe Peyton was in Seattle. But I'm going to go with, because he put Pro Football Championship in there, which put me in a complete blender, out of the University of Georgia. This Asbury Tarkenton is the answer that we're looking for here.
You talked yourself out of the right one. It was Peyton Manning, I'm sorry to say, lost by 35 points as a favorite against the Legion of Boom in Super Bowl 48. Coming up, Dan says the Chiefs got outcoached last night. Let's get into that next. Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Indeed knows that getting a job is the hardest job out there. Not only can Indeed help you find the right opportunity for your needs and qualifications, but they've also got tools to help you build your resume, nail the interview, and even negotiate your salary. If you're looking for a job, Indeed can help.
If you're not fired up to play in the Super Bowl, then I don't know what else can make you get any more fired up.
Super Bowl 55 will be underway. Pass to Gronkowski. He's going to score a touchdown. Rob Gronkowski's got two today. Big time pressure on Mahomes. Antonio Brown dives low to make this catch. The Chiefs try to regroup. They are down 21-6 at halftime. To the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. There's nothing the Chiefs can do. There will be no repeat. Bucks win the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, you are the man. You are the GOAT, the greatest of all time.
Well, of that, there seems to be absolutely no question. We welcome those of you just joining us. Orlovsky, McAfee, and Ryan Clark are here. And Dan, you sent me a text. I want to get into this. You said that you've never seen an Andy Reid team as badly outcoached as they were last night. What did you see?
Yeah, it's the most outclassing I've ever seen Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, Steve Spagnuolo. First of all, the Kansas City Chiefs offense, we knew what the issues were going to be going into the game, right? We knew the offensive line was decimated and they were playing against a good defense. They never had a plan for when Tampa Bay got into overload. When I say overload, they took Vita Vea, Jason Pierre-Paul, and Sue and put them on one side of the line of scrimmage. They never had a plan for how to block that really well. They never had a plan to try and create Tyreek Hill in one-on-one or Travis Kelce in one-on-one. I mean, Tyreek Hill never had single coverage. They never moved those guys around well enough. You know, Tampa Bay played in so much too high safety coverage. Just put simply, when defenses do that to you, you got to run the football a little bit. They never had a plan for that stuff. Like, it was very much so never being allowed to. They were always dictated to. They never got Patrick out of the pocket enough. They never moved him on purpose enough. And then Spags, defensively, there was never any moment where they max dropped. You know, we always talked about, like, you know, trying to defend Tom Brady. They never dropped eight into coverage. It was always, hey, everybody on the outside, play one-on-one. And all Tampa Bay did was play action. You keep seven guys in protection and create those one-on-ones. And so it was just super confusing that they played so poorly and were coached so poorly, knowing that those guys were in the same situation last year.
Yeah, and Andy Reid came into this game with the best record of any coach in history with 2 weeks to prepare, coming off a bye or in these circumstances in the playoffs, 27-5, best of anybody. So how do we explain it, McAfee? How do you explain what happened last night?
Well, I think the way you can explain this is the offensive side of the ball for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady wanted to have that thing locked down last week, okay? I got a chance to talk to Clyde Christensen, quarterback coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, formerly of the Indianapolis Colts. He was the one that actually taught me whenever I was third string quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. And he said Tom wanted to have the plan pretty much locked in about a week. With the the ability to kind of adjust as they went and got closer to the game. So whenever you're talking about Byron Leftwich, Tom Brady and the boys on the offensive side, Gronkowski, Brown, Leonard Fournette playing for a contract, that guy was unbelievable all playoffs, running his ass off. I think it became almost to a point where that play-action offense that we were all calling for early in the season, Dan, you were calling for this earlier in the season with that Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, Tom Brady has his most success whenever his backs are playing great football. Leonard Fournette for the last 4 weeks, That's 3 weeks, has been playing incredible football. Ronald Jones got hurt. They kind of handed it off to playoff Lenny, and they said, hey, you got to do your thing. And I don't think there was anything Steve Spagnuolo could have done in that particular case. And then once Brady and the Honey Badger started chirping and you saw Brady actually getting animated with it, you're like, okay, this is the Chase Young situation again. You just don't poke the bear. You don't poke the goat. Even though they don't have teeth, they have the ability to go nuts. And on the other side, whenever you talk about that defensive line for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Dominican Sue, the man that Greeny was just talking to a little bit ago, he's been around a long, long time. And whenever you get to a Super Bowl, I was very lucky to play in a Super Bowl my rookie year. He never made it back, but everybody can take it up another notch. And Dominican Sue went into that game last night thinking, if I get hurt in all of my joints, I have 6 months to recover from this thing. When you talk about Vita Vea, Shaquille Barrett, when you talk about these guys who laid low on the line, they knew that they had 5-6 months to be remembered forever. It was unbelievable watching them work, and I assume all of them want to be back, and that team's only going to get better and better as we go forward here down in Tampa Bay, Gronkaneer land.
And then RC, go ahead, Ryan.
No, this is about week 12, though. Like, you asked the question, how can you get out coach? These two teams played. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs and Tyreek Hill goes for two Bills in the first quarter, you feel like that works. You think that's the way to go. Why do I need to change anything? But if you're Tampa Bay and you see that, you understand that something has to be different, right? And if you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you blitz Tom Brady and he threw two interceptions and he was throwing the football into the stands early on in the game, you say, you know what? We're going to come back and do the same thing. But if you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you say, we did beat them with the play-action pass. We did get the run game going a little bit. And so you come into this game with different perspective. These two teams saw each other and one felt good about who they were, and the other didn't. And the team that didn't changed that. And when they changed that, they go on this unprecedented run, and it culminates with you seeing the same team that changed you.
That's a really good point. These teams played each other twice. The Buccaneers were the better team, 7 out of 8 quarters, and that's what winds up showing itself last night. Let me pause here. We're not breaking. We're just pausing 60 seconds. We'll continue exactly 1 minute from now with Tom Brady getting all the credit in the world, and rightfully so. But which Buccaneer is not getting enough credit? We will tell you exactly who exactly 1 minute from now after this word from Indeed.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can't find the fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out, and we'll rise up.
And we continue on Get Up with our On the Clock here. 30 seconds for some of the big questions coming out of last night. And Orlovsky, I'm starting with you. What was your biggest, well, we kind of touched on this on one side, but I know you have an entirely different thought on the coaching from last night. 30 seconds, let's hear it.
Byron Leftwich was absolutely spectacular. He was just as good as Todd Bowles was. It's important for us to talk about how good he has been since they've made the move, realizing that's not who we are. But who are we? Now, we're a great team if we keep our quarterback clean. We can put an extra offensive lineman in and go play action pass and allow our quarterback to operate. We'll pound the football a little bit and make defensive backs, corners and safeties, tackle our running backs. We got good guys on the outside that can win. Byron Leftwich was absolutely spectacular last night. He deserves to be talked about.
I'm glad that you said that. And again, it's a team where you've got Brady, and then you've got an offensive head coach in Bruce Arians, so you don't usually talk enough about the offensive coordinator. RC, I'm coming to you next. Who was the real MVP of that game last night for Tampa Bay?
Listen, Tom Brady's the MVP because that's how things work, but it was about Devin White. Devin White was all over the field. Yeah. He was a real-life killer last night. You saw him every play chasing down the football, and when he chased it down, he let you know that he got there. He gets the interception late in the game, and he goes to the screen, and he says, "This is my house," and it absolutely was. Not only because it's where his home stadium is, because he owned the grass the entire night. Devin White was a difference maker. He was an energy bringer. He was the dude that Pat McAfee needs to bring to his next wrestling match because he is about that life.
He was spectacular last night. McAfee, I feel bad. I want you to know I didn't write this question. It was given to me. How would you describe the effort of Kansas City punter Tommy Townsend last night in 30 seconds? Go ahead.
Yes. All right, stop celebrating, okay? I would like to say that a lot of the specialists last night performed at their highest ability. Ryan Succop hit from 50-plus. Butker was the only one to score for the Chiefs. Bradley Pinion absolutely pinned the Chiefs deep whenever he had to. Tommy Townsend, stage, had a rough go. Obviously, whenever the ball slips through your hands, that's all you think about for the next 10 reps. He hits a touchback early, drops a snap, hits his best punt, penalty, bring it back, hits a shank out of the end zone. Never good to be walking to your sideline after hitting a 20-some yard punt, let alone out of your end zone, let alone on a Super Bowl. Going to be a long offseason.
Okay. That's
not good for the brand.
That was very good. Not good for the brand. Okay. I would never have guessed we would do anything but Super Bowl today, but then this happens. We've been talking about Carson Wentz basically since he got benched. Maybe we're getting close to the end of this story, or at least the end of it in Philadelphia. The future for Carson Wentz came into a lot of discussion this weekend as Adam Schefter is reporting that there's a growing expectation that Wentz will be traded and soon. And we have Shefty with us this morning. So let's bring you in, Shefty. For those who have not been following, what can you tell us as far as the situation with Wentz in Philly right now?
Well, Greeny, it looks like he's going to be traded. The question is where, when, and for how much. And it certainly seems like it's possible to get that trade done this week, though the Eagles continue to insist to teams that they have no problems holding on to Carson Wentz, and they don't have to make a trade if they don't have to. But again, most people believe that that trade is coming, that Carson Wentz will be the next quarterback that is dealt. And I think once Matthew Stafford was traded, it started the clock on Carson Wentz. And it also set a bar for Carson Wentz because the Eagles are looking for what one source described as a quote-unquote Matthew Stafford package. Matthew Stafford went for a third-round pick this year to future ones, and Jared Goff, and the Eagles are looking for a similar bounty in return for the quarterback that they once traded up to get, signed to a contract extension, and would have to carry a record NFL dead cap charge against their salary cap for 21 in a year where the cap is going to go down to about $181 million.
Super quickly, Shefty, what, if anything, do we know about possible trade partners here?
I think the teams that you look at right away are the Chicago Bears and the Indianapolis Colts. Now, there are other teams that are gauging their interest in calling the Eagles and seeing what they would and wouldn't be willing to do. But I think those are the two teams that seem to be right now looking at a quarterback, and we'll see whether the Bears or the Colts can get something done for once or whether there's another team that sneaks in there, Greeny.
Okay, we will see. And again, Shefty telling us he expects this to happen soon. McAfee, I'm coming to you. What is your reaction to all this?
Well, I'll tell you what, I was very excited that the Indianapolis Colts were in the market. And by the way, shout out Shefty. What's up, dude? So happy to hear Indianapolis Colts were in the market for Matthew Stafford, because I believe Matthew Stafford is an absolute stud. I think the Los Angeles Rams saved him from Detroit. Now, I don't know what Motor City Dan Campbell's going to be doing up there with kneecaps, but it's very interesting to me that the Philadelphia Eagles view Carson Wentz as Matthew Stafford in that trade, as opposed to Jared Goff in that trade, because it feels like Carson Wentz is much more like Jared Goff than he is like Matthew Stafford. Seems to be broken a bit. Goff, both mentally and his thumb. His contract is massive. Anybody that takes that on is going to have to deal with that. And you have no idea if he's going to be the same quarterback he was a couple years ago. Now, if he goes to the Bears, more power to him. That'll be fantastic. Colts, though, I hope Frank Reich can do CPR, because that seems to be a quarterback that is damn near dead at this point over there in Philadelphia. He's broken. He's absolutely broken. Hopefully Frank Reich would be the guy that could bring him back.
And Dominic, that's an interesting point when he says it's more comparable to Wentz. Wentz is a guy the Rams basically had to pay to get someone to take their contract off his hands. It doesn't sound like that's the way the Eagles are handling this with Carson Wentz, but should they be?
Yeah, I think you meant Goff in that situation, but I think you're right. One of the things that I think this is all about is it's partially player empowerment has fully come to the NFL. If a quarterback like this can force his way out, we are in the NFL as the NBA player empowerment era is alive. And the other thing is, we always debate on how much you should pay these young quarterbacks or if you can give them extensions. This seems to kind of nail home the point that you can, because there is always a market for these guys. If they showed a glimpse of competence, someone is going to convince themselves that they are good enough to bring them back to their greatness. And Frank Reich is the guy to do it. That situation is a great situation. So I don't hate the trade for either side, but I'm certainly shocked that there is a market out there for a quarterback that statistically was probably the worst quarterback in the league last year.
Yeah, I think you could make that argument. I'd have to leave it here, guys, and I'm going to change the tone, because I will mention, as many people know, that we, all of us at ESPN today, are working with heavy hearts. You know, we are a family here at ESPN, a big family, and our family is mourning the loss of a friend and a colleague. Pedro Gomez died unexpectedly yesterday in his home. Pedro covered baseball for ESPN, for all of our studio shows, all kinds of live events, all kinds of work on ESPN radio. He had a 35-year career, covered more than 25 World Series, more than 20 All-Star games. He always said his favorite moment was covering Game 6 of the 2003 NLCS. That's the famous Steve Bartman game when Bartman, the fan in Chicago, tried to catch a foul ball over Moises Alou, and then the Marlins scored 8 runs and they forced a Game 7 of that series. The chairman of our company of ESPN, Jimmy Pitaro, released a statement in which he said Pedro was an elite journalist at the highest level and his professional accomplishments are universally recognized. More importantly, Pedro was a kind, dear friend to us all. Our hearts are with Pedro's family and all who love him at this extraordinarily difficult time. I think that's the way all of us are feeling today. He was an extremely kind man and an extraordinary professional. He is survived by his wife, Sandra, his sons, Rio and Dante, and his daughter, Sierra. Rio is a pitcher in the Red Sox organization. That team tweeted, quote, "Our hearts go out to the Gomez family. All of us at ESPN are thinking about Pedro's family today." He was 58 years old. We'll be right back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is presented by Indeed. Indeed, we help people get jobs. Meanwhile, we got good college hoops tonight. Big Monday on ESPN. North Carolina hosting Miami. That's 7 Eastern. Then to the Big 12. Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State taking on Kansas. And that is that coming up. And we also have Gonzaga and BYU tonight. SportsCenter with SVP follows that. So a good night of college basketball. And with that, I welcome you to our studio here. Greeny with you. Get Up with you. Live and commercial free for the next 9 minutes, taking you right to the top of the hour. And that is when First Take will take over on this Super Bowl Monday. And they will be talking about how shocking the Buccaneer beatdown of the Chiefs was. Plus, how will Patrick Mahomes' performance impact his legacy? Stephen A. Max and Molly next on ESPN.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
Next
question. Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions for you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
This is another Wednesday staple on Get Up that we're using on this Super Bowl Monday. I will ask a series of provocative, hard-hitting questions, and Dominique has no question but to answer them. They're all coming off last night's game. First, did Kansas City make a mistake calling a timeout late in the second quarter yesterday, Neek?
I mean, it backfired, but I absolutely don't think it was a mistake. Given the field position at the time and given how much they were trailing and given who their quarterback is, yeah, you want to try to preserve that, get him the ball, get yourself in at least field goal range. And then you had this awful penalty that set up a touchdown. It was very reminiscent of the NFC Championship game where the Bucs were able to get a big touchdown just before half that felt like the game was kind of decided at that moment. But you go back to that moment, 20 out of 20 times, I would suggest that the Chiefs stop the clock and try to get the ball back and try to get back in the game and hope that you don't have a situation where a big penalty backfires and puts them down in the red zone.
All right, very quickly, when you said it was an awful penalty, did you mean that it was an awful call or it was just a terrible penalty to get in that moment?
I would say both. Like it felt like both the ball was uncatchable in inadvertent contact, and in a situation like that where it swings the game or feels like it could swing the game, yeah, I don't like that call right there, and it's a terrible turn of events for the Chiefs.
Which sets up my next question. Do you believe the officiating was a factor in the outcome last night?
No, I think it was absolutely a factor, but it wasn't the factor. As the defensive back, I may be a bit biased on calls like this, but this seems like a rough one. The one in the end zone for Tyrann Mathieu felt a little touchy right there where you want to be able to hold your ground. This one also feels a little bit close, like you got to be physical with these big guys, but this is the way the game is going, and I'm sure that through the course of the year, these things kind of level out. I know some people think the Chiefs got away with some calls like this in last week's game, so it happens to you. You understand, you move on forward, you don't blame the officials. It was a factor, but not the factor.
All right, and finally, do you believe that Tom Brady being named MVP last night was the right decision?
Yeah, he deserves it. It's hard not to give it to Tom Brady. I think you could search through the defense. I think Devin White, like RC was saying, was absolutely key to that defense. He is emotionally to that side of the ball what Tom Brady is to the offensive side of the ball. But when you look at all the contributions that Tom Brady has made, not just the players that he brought in scoring all the touchdowns that came in with him, not just the way that the team kind of learned how to play, but I think it's the trust and belief, and trust is an interesting thing. I think that all these guys had a relationship with Tom Brady that goes back more than a decade. Even if they've never met him or never played against him, just watching him play built up a level of trust and confidence because they have a relationship from watching him play that had them out there believing that they could win every week, which I know seems cliche and kind of storybook, but it feels real. When you walk out there and you're like, it doesn't matter. I know that this guy's got my back. I know that this guy knows how things can get done. It's a level of trust and confidence that I think elevated everyone's play and elevated the coaching around them in that organization.
I think that's well said. Dominique, thank you. And as I bring the rest of the guys back in for final thoughts, I mean, it is the last game last night, the 269th game of an NFL season, unlike any other based on the pandemic and everything else. And in the end, Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl. So no matter how much things change, they wind up staying the same. So we'll get final thoughts here. McAfee, I'll start with you. Coming off of last night, what is the final thought you have on Super Bowl 55?
Yeah, much to what Neek said there, it's hard not to just be thoroughly impressed with what Tom Brady has done at this point. And you go back through all the legendary folk stories from him walking in the locker room and screaming whenever he was with the Patriots that he's the baddest mother on the planet. Now it's coming out that he sent a text message to every single member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week, every single night at 11 o'clock saying, "We will win." Him going down to Tampa, completely transforming that culture down there into a winning one. What he has done over the last 20 years, 10 Super Bowls, 7 of them winning. Now he's hoisting a Lombardi yet again in a different city while Belichick and the Patriots fans just kind of have to watch their golden goose go to another town. I mean, Tom Brady's magical. I'm happy to be alive. I hated playing against him because he normally beat the hell out of the team I was on, but this is absolutely incredible and sets up for another great run down there in Tampa next year, I believe.
I'm with it. Dan Orlovsky, what is the thought you will take away from this game?
Yeah, I mean, that's Tom Brady's quote. When Tom Brady talks about getting to the goal, he says that's not what matters. What matters is the next one. I just think that what we are witnessing with Tom Brady started 20 years ago. And he put being the greatest and championship at the very top. and he has made every single life decision under the umbrella of, does it help him get there? And it's not for many. It's not for anyone but Tom. And we're watching it unfold, reaping the benefits of decision after decision after decision. And we look at greatness sometimes as an individual act, but think about what he just accomplished and the impact that he's had on. I mean, Jason Light and Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles and Gronk and Fournette and AB. I mean, so many guys were better because they were around Tom Brady. Not only that they were Super Bowl champions, but they will be better impactful players in the NFL just because they spent time with Tom. And so his greatness isn't measured just by rings. It's about his impact on everybody else. And I think we're watching that play out.
And to your point, 18 years between his first and most recent championship MVP is now a record in baseball, football, the NBA, the NHL, MLS, WNBA, and the National Women's Soccer League. No one has done it before. RC, what thought do you take away more than any other from Super Bowl 55?
Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, most importantly, head coach Bruce Arians. I'm never shy about coming on this show or being on many shows and talking about the lack of diversity in the coaching ranks or the coaching hires or even the coaching pipeline. When you look at the coaching staff of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they have an assistant head coach who is a black man. All three of their coordinators, offensive, defensive, and special teams, are black men. They have an assistant D-line coach that's a woman and an assistant strength coach that is a woman. That is diversity. That is looking to the people and thinking about being intentional about making sure that your room, making sure that your offices reflect what America is. And I think that is a beautiful thing. It also showed that with these type of people, with black people, with white people, with women, with just having good people around, good humans, you can win a championship. You can be the best team in the world, and it doesn't necessarily have to look the way that these coaching staffs have looked forever. And so I'm proud of Bruce Arians. I'm proud of this coaching staff. I'm proud of what they represent. I'm proud of how they look. Awesome. Great job to BA and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's beautifully said, Ryan. Outstanding. Shefty, last up, what is your number one takeaway from this game?
Well, it's hard to follow the greatness of my colleagues there. Every single one of them was incredibly eloquent and intelligent about what they said about this particular game. I've got a lot of random thoughts all over the place, but how about the fact, Todd Bowles, to what RC said, the Buccaneers didn't allow a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah.
Chiefs didn't score a single touch. Just think about that for a moment. Yeah. And then think about Tom Brady, who's overcome so many obstacles that have come his way. Undrafted free or a late round pick, what he can do, what he did throughout the course of his career. I think he's now redefining what someone in their 40s can do. And I'll end on this, Greeny, a sobering thought. Not great. Our thoughts are with Pedro Gomez and his family.
Absolutely.
And our thoughts are with the 5-year-old girl in Kansas City who's still in the hospital and not doing well. Very sad.
Absolutely. Well said. Guys, thank you all for getting up with us here. Thank you for getting up with us. I'm going over to ESPN Radio now. First Take starts here.